Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Does it matter how we live Monday through Saturday, so long as we go to the house of worship on the Lord's Day? I'm not in any way downplaying the importance of worshiping our Heavenly Father. God has always demanded that His children worship Him. The Old Testament provides many examples of worship. Jesus taught the Samaritan woman, "The hour comes and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." John 4:23-24. But is God concerned only about our worship? Must we come before Him with clean hands and a pure heart? Psalm 24:4. Isaiah, the great statesman prophet, expressed God's deep disappointment in the moral behavior of the Israelites. He compared the leaders of Israel to the rulers of Sodom, and the people to the inhabitants of Gomorrah. Isaiah 1:10. The nation was morally and spiritually sick. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The tragedy was that the Israelites had made no effort, or not enough effort, to correct the evils that prevailed in the nation. The wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isaiah 1:5-6. When such people come before God in worship, does He overlook their transgressions and accept their worship? Please listen to the prophet Isaiah. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When you come before me, who has required this of you, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I can no longer endure. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood." Isaiah 1:11-15. Neither the Old Testament nor the New endorses the idea that moral behavior and compassion for the poor and needy will substitute for the worship God demands. A major responsibility for Christians has always been caring for the less fortunate. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. As vital as worship is to our growth in the faith, by itself it is inadequate. We must also feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, and engage in other works of benevolence. We must also refrain from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15-17. But if we help others, keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but do not worship God according to His Word, our service in the kingdom is not acceptable. The Lord asked His people, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" The heathen people of ancient times believed they ought to offer sacrifices so their gods would not go hungry. Some of the pagan religions picture the gods as hovering over the sacrifices, and even fighting among themselves for the food their worshippers would provide for them. Did the Jews believe God could not survive unless they offered sacrifices unto Him? The Lord explained, "I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of goats." God was tired of the sacrifices because of the way His people were living. Their conduct was abominable. So how could their worship be acceptable unto God? We need to learn from these great truths in the Old Testament. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you.